So we're going to share a little, me and Alejandro are going to share a little bit of our testimony tonight. Alejandro shared his testimony a few weeks ago. I shared mine maybe months ago, maybe a year ago. A lot of y'all probably haven't heard it. But tonight we want to kind of share our testimony and how they kind of like intertwine. Me and Brother Luna known each other for a very long time. We started hanging around each other maybe about the age of 15, 16. I'm 39 and 37, so it's been quite a bit of years that we've been around each other, and God's been good. But before I start, I want to share just one a quote or a scripture of mine, one of my favorites. It says, "The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." So to be just and righteous is right standing with God. So that's also another promise, Toby, that the path, our path, if we follow him and stay right standing with him through his son in faith, that our path will be like the shining sun that will always continue to grow brighter and brighter until that perfect day when we get called home. And then all glory be revealed in us at that point. Just wanted to share that scripture with you guys. Did you have a scripture or anything you'd like to share, Lalo?
I just like to quote Romans 12:2, the renewing of the mind. I think that's a very powerful scripture. And as we talk about our testimony, I explain why, you know, of that scripture being very important, of being renewed by the mind. So with that, I just want to go in, as Jose was speaking about when we as kids, you know, we used to run the streets together. You know, we used to be in the same gang, you know, selling dope together. I mean, we've done a lot of things together, you know, that we're not proud of, but we speak on these things because, you know, as we renew our mind by the new of God, we can become new men in Christ Jesus. And that's something that we share, you know, all the time. And I always speak about it with our fitness. So we use fitness as a way to minister as well. So, you know, as we go in and talk about the renewing of the mind, as we go in and speak how we become new men in Christ Jesus, and it's not about glorifying ourselves, but giving the praise and honor to him who has saved, and that is Jesus. You know, it's nothing about what we have done. It's all what he can do and what he is doing through us and for each and every one of us here today. So I just...
Yeah, so basically, our testimony is very similar. So my father was involved with drugs, federal prison. My mother was a Christian praying mother, but a lot of my aunts and uncles are involved with drugs. Some of them are still involved with drugs in prison, incarceration, older cousins. Me and him were basically like our family, and a lot of us were like kind of like they call them like little homies. So we have older cousins and older brothers that were more like leaders. So as well as Lalo and me, I looked up to them as a young age. At around fifth grade, I already remember throwing up gang signs and trying to throw up gang signs. And I would see my older cousins. I was like, man, they're wearing blue. They're wearing Georgetown. Like, I want that. So they were my mentors in a way. Like, that's who I wanted to be like. So it wasn't a good environment. And like I said, my father was involved with stuff too. So that did not help. It was just like, it was just all around. It was everywhere. You know, I grew up with, like I said, families going to prison and they come out, they do the same thing. Nobody did nothing really anything different. And that was my mindset. So at the age of 14, that's when I started getting involved with the streets. And by the time I was in eighth grade, I wasn't supposed to pass eighth grade. I had all Fs, supposed to go to summer school. I didn't go. They passed me anyway. High school dropped out, 18 years old. By the time I turned 18, I went to Wood Youth Center and they gave me like 120 GED. I got my GED, I got out. But as soon as I got out at 18, I got involved with harder drugs at that time. My older cousin was like, the lower stuff that you're messing with is not making enough money. This is something that we're doing now that is new. So I got involved with that, and that's when a lot more darkness got involved. That was at the age of 18, and I believe Lalo was about 16 then. Yeah. So that's when we really start
selling drugs.
It's getting like- involved together more on a different level. Before that, it was more like, I mean...
See each other.
Yeah.
On that nature.
But as soon as the... illegal stuff got involved, that brought me and him really close at a young age.
And I grew up, my mother and my father, they sold drugs. My dad died when I was 8 from an OD. My mother tried to raise 4 boys on her own, which, you know, how that was hard, you know what I mean, in and out trying to work. So my brother stepped up at an early age, and it was crazy because they led a path for me. So it wasn't anything that I had to do. I just jumped off the porch and walked that path because they was already recognizing the neighborhood. So at that time, I really didn't want to, but it was something already laid, and it was an easy format. And me being at that age, I was young, I was overweight, had a lot of insecurities and things along that nature. So I started trying to be that tough guy, trying to put on that fake mask and trying to act something that I wasn't. So, you know, to fast forward it to now, just to show the difference of who I am today, I seen it when I was in prison, all the masks and how I was trying to hide all those things growing up. So in retrospective, I seen that that wasn't even me. At that young age, it was like I was just trying to be somebody else that I wasn't. So my whole life growing up, I was faking it. Even when I'm selling drugs and doing those things with Jose and running around, I mean, that's just part of the lifestyle growing up because that's what was respected and that's what was expected of us. But in all actuality, I didn't want it. And God took a hold of me when I was incarcerated, and he started renewing, as I was renewing my mind, he started changing the hearts and my desires of my heart to become a different man. And now I could be who I am today. So when I'm facing challenges and everything now, I see things a little different and clear. So, you know, like I was saying, like what Jose was talking about when we as kids and young and running the streets and doing the things that we was doing, it's like I was always just doing the things that my brothers would do. If my brothers, you know, were selling drugs, I wanted to sell drugs. They were sleeping with different type of women, I wanted to sleep with different type of women. I wanted to do all these things and be something that I wasn't. So I was really just being a fake and a fraud. You know, and it was just crazy, like just living a lie, you know, growing up as a kid. It was just like, it was just something totally different. And then like me and Jose, we met each other, you know, through family, his cousin.
We shared the same uncle and aunt.
Yeah.
My first uncle married his aunt. Yeah.
So we grew up like family.
You basically know? Like cousins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when we grew up, it was just like, you know, in that time, we grew up and became known in the neighborhood, had guys looking up to us. And still had, you know, that power of position, just like I shared before, like I was in a power of position, but I used that power of position to manipulate for my self-gratification, for that instant, you know, puff up and, oh man, he's somebody, or he think, you know, trying to just fill that void and that emptiness. And it led to, you know, a down slope, you know. So it was just crazy.
It says in scripture, it says, he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going, or does not know what makes him stumble. And I feel like that's what we talk about that a lot. Now, when we grew up, there was probably about at least 30 of us, right? We would say about 20, 30, about with all the family and cousins and friends. So that's a lot of young men that's not up to no good. So we were like his older brothers and my older cousins, they all like affiliated with a certain type of, like clique or gang type, so that we just fell right into all that. And I knew God was, my mom used to pray for us all the time. She would see us out on the block, and she would just come, and Lalo knows, she would come by.
She'd be on the porch, she'd be on her way to church. I'm gonna pray for y'all. She never forced nothing or anything, you know, she just always would say, I'm gonna pray for you, and walk and keep on walking to church. So we always had somebody praying for us, and God answered her prayers. You know,
yeah,
it was amazing.
It was, so. But me and him, I feel like God, you know, the enemy wanted to use us. We had, like, I feel like even to this day, like a leadership quality. So as us growing up, we advanced, especially me and him, out of, I would say, all the 30 of them, practically. We, from here, nothing. And when we got involved with illegal activity, we came up here. So all of them kind of, like, looked to us in a certain way. But God was so good, though. But anyways, a little bit of my testimony. So I caught a case at the age of 26 years old, and they dropped the case. State dropped it. I had a firearm and some drugs on me. The state dropped it, and I was out for about 6 months. And I got a lawyer. Lawyer was like, the feds are going to pick it up. We don't know when. About towards the end of the fifth month, I always grew up in church. My mom would make me go. I was Catholic until I was 10 years old, and then I continued to go to a Christian church. But so I always went to church. Even after I caught my case, I just kept going to church at the eight. And then about fifth month, I went to church, and I don't know exactly what he said, but it really hit my heart that day. And like within myself, it was saying like game over. And I gave myself to God that day. And I was like, man, you know, I look forward to this. I finally got a job, and I had kids, I had a family, had house and cars and all that. And I thought things were going to start changing, you know, for the really good. I felt good. And literally they came talk to me about the Bible, a pastor, and about that, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, I got indicted by the federal government. And that's when they gave me 10 years. And I picked up where I left off. I believe I was already in the third chapter of John. So when I got to the county jail, I picked that up and I discontinued my walk of in there for doing 4 years. And during that time, he was still involved heavy in the legal activity. So I would talk to him while I was down there as well, and kind of telling him what's going on with me and my transformation, and telling him about God and how I felt what was happening to me.
He used to call, you know, when he was in the county jail, always just say, he had a real sound mind, and always he used to say he was at peace, you know, and never really like just try to push the word or anything, but just showed his comfort in how he was believing in God and trusting the process. And so, you know, sooner or later, I got indicted in 2011. Me and my brothers, we got indicted in 2011. I was 27 at that time. Got indicted, you know, it was part of, last time I was talking about the testimony, somebody had asked me, you know what I mean, like, what had drew you to God, you know what I mean? To be honest, I was fearful, I was scared, I lost everything, I'm 27 years old, facing a lot of time, and I ended up signing a plea bargain for 12 and a half years, and, you know, during that time, that's when the Lord started changing my heart and working on me. So when I went down to the federal prison, you know, I walked away from my gang, I put everything down, I put everything away. And when I was going through my transitions in the federal prisons and stuff like that, I had to stand on the word of God. I had to trust the word. I had to stand on my own and believe in his promises. You know what I mean? Like somebody had quoted the Jeremiah 29:11, you know, another one he had quoted earlier, that we have to take to heart, you know, his words and the importance of renewing our minds. So when things do come against us, and that's how, you know, when I was in prison, it was like when I was standing, going against oppositions, it was like, Lord, you know, I was fearful, I was scared, but at the same time, though, I knew it was worth it. I knew I had to do it, and that goes back to what I spoke on earlier. Like when I was in the streets and I was doing the things that I was doing, I wasn't being who I was, and then I finally was able to find peace in Christ, and now I am who I am. So when I went up and stood against these guys, I was learning, like, you know, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, you know, and I didn't have no fear, because I knew who God was and I knew who I served. So I was grateful for that incarceration. Now that I look back at it, I can see, you know, that he had a plan and that he knew what he was doing. So that incarceration has really, you know, made a big difference in my life. And, you know, I took what they had gave me. I came back home and I just continued to stand on his word. It, you know, it's not easy. You know, I'm just now coming home. You know, I only been home 9 months, you know, after 9 years of being gone, you know, starting all over. You know, I'm starting from square zero. Before I went to prison, I had all this, that, and everything else, but I was unhappy. I come home, I'm more full of joy and peace with less. You know, I'm staying at my mother's house. I'm 37 years old, living at my mother's house with my children. You know what I mean? Just now getting back on my feet. But it's a blessing, you know, and I'm trusting in God, because I know who he is and I know who I serve. You know, I know that you know, it's better to have that peace of mind that passes all understanding that Jesus talks about than having all these materialistic things.
Amen.
Because I had all that before I went to prison. And if that was success, I don't want that, you know, and I'm just being honest. So as I stand here today, I just talk about, you know, who God is and what he has done. And I just encourage everyone, you know, to continue to seek that word, continue to trust, you know, and find it. Me and Jose have been talking to the guys when we're doing fitness, and we're talking about how the quote was today was, no weapon conformed against me
shall prosper.
Shall prosper. So we was like, why is that? You know, on that scripture, why is that? What does that scripture really mean? No weapon formed against you. So that's not saying that they're not going to come. What it's saying is it's not going to prosper. Then he also says in the second part of it that you should cast it down, your tongue. So, I mean, we got to put in our work as well. You know what I mean? As it comes, we got to take it and say, hey, this isn't going to take me down. This isn't going to define me. This where I'm at is not it, you know? And that's the same thing with me. You know, I'm going through the things that I'm going through in life right now, and I'm accepting it because I know who God is and I know who I serve. And I'm like, Lord, you say that you ain't going to get put too much on me that I can't bear. You say this, you say that. Let's go. And I'm taking all challenges with confidence because I know the God that I serve. And nobody can tell me anything different about the God that I serve, because I know how he answers prayers. I know what he has done for me in the past during my darkest times. And as I'm out here today, he still continues to show up and show out. And I'm very grateful for that.
And one thing that Lalo's saying is, go ahead, Brother Mark.
Question I have for the two of you. Mm-hmm. You both of you are one of the commanders. During your transition, you see any other young men come to Christ while you were there?
I was locked up with a lot of good guys that gave their life to Christ during their incarceration that related to me as far as selling drugs, being in gangs, and things along that nature. And I was locked up with a lot of guys that really changed their life and still, for the word of God, separate themselves holier, you know, separate. You know what I mean? Not better than me or holier than now, but actually took the steps to better themselves by renewing their mind. And I was sharing with Jose before. So an example, you know, like when we talk about renewing the mind and the body. So Jose, if he's right here, the old Jose, when I would bump into him, how would you respond?
Right.
Differently, out of anger. But the new Jose, if I bump into him today, he can know that and respond out of the love and out of the spirit, because we're not fighting the flesh. So when you're incarcerated, you're around different type of individuals that we're learning, and we call them role plays. We go through situations and stuff like that, so when they occur, so your body is like, your mind is like a muscle. So it's the same thing. So when we was in there, I used to be around good brothers that actually gave themselves to Christ and changed their lives. And still out to this day, I still associate with them in different areas that out serving, doing what they can with their gift that God has given them. So it's a lot of people that's incarcerated that's at their darkest moments seeking God for that comfort.
Mm-hmm. I looked at it when I got incarcerated. Like I said, I gave myself to God, and then I got incarcerated weeks later. I picked up the Bible when I was in there, and all during that time was a training process for me. I said, this is just training. Out here is the real battle, and that's for all of us. Out here is the real battle. What helped me, and what I had a teacher or a pastor basically in there, and you in there, a lot of people say it's jailhouse religion. So, but if anybody that's been locked up, you know, you could discern real from fake. You know, so a lot of people in the county pick up the word of God. But when you go to prison, then you're really going to distinguish who's walking the walk and who's not, or who's halfway, half in, half out. But the real fight is out here. So in there, and I talked to Lalo about this. I talked to the family that I work out with, how powerful the word of God is. The word of God is very powerful, but you have to believe it and you have to ignite it. You know, just like Jesus, you know, when the devil came at him, he came with scripture. I believe it was all of them out of Deuteronomy, was it? All of them, I believe the scripture was. Was that right? All scripture was out of Deuteronomy? Do you know that, Pastor? That Jesus quoted?
He wants to get behind
me, Satan. Yeah, all of them. That's not live off bread alone, but everywhere comes from the mouth of God. But anyways, he came with the sword, with the word, and he is the sword and the word. So one thing I learned in there, my teacher, I only knew one scripture, and I was in the county for almost 11 months. Brother Lalo, how long you was in the county for?
Almost 4 years.
In the county jail. So if anybody been there, it's pretty rough to just in that environment that long. But I was in the county almost a year, then I went to prison, and I only knew one scripture, and I was around about four or five good brothers, you know, well-equipped with the word. And I was like, I just don't understand how you guys are, like, memorizing like that. Like, I ain't even past the eighth grade. Like, I don't understand this. And my teacher came one time, and it was like a profound moment. He said, everybody coming tomorrow with scripture again. And he said, Jose, don't come to me with that same scripture. He really put me out there in front of everybody. It really kind of, not offended me, but I felt a certain way. And because everybody else was a different level. And he told me, and I remember him, he gave me an example, or he told me about this word. He said, he has by me through it. He was like, you can't always run to that. You cannot always run to me or that Bible every time you got a problem. He's like, you got to have this in your mind and right here in your heart. You got to have this to fight this battle. And it reminded me of a soldier. The soldier always have his gun. You know, you can't go run back to camp and grab your gun. You have to have it ready at all times. And that's what he was telling me. You don't have your word ready. You don't have it ready. So after that, I just took off with the scripture. I made it my personal business to have scripture on my mind and heart. I remember, I can't quote them all now, but I remember I ended up learning out of the book of Proverbs. I was like, I need a word for every day of the month. That way I can share the good news with everybody. So if today's the first, I need to know a scripture for the first. And I ended up remembering 30 scriptures. And then I took it a step further. I was like, you know what? I challenged my roommate. I was like, you challenged me. I'm going to remember 3 scriptures for every day. So that's 90-something scriptures. And the last day I remember, I was memorizing it. And I did it, you know, and I challenged them. I gave them the Bible. I was like, you pick any book out of the Proverbs, I'll give you 3 scriptures for that day. But I just want to say that whenever you feel that lead and that you make it personal, that this is very important. And I always stress that to D1 different people, the word of God is so important. You got to have that, because I use that to this day when I fight my battles. Like if he was to bump me, or, you know, your old flesh, I speak for everybody here, because everybody's a man. Everybody's going to be tempted, even with lust, just with everything. That scripture comes to mind. But if I didn't have that scripture, it would be so hard for me not to react in a different way. That scripture helps me. You know, it says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So if I come with a soft answer, I'm able to diffuse the situation. But if I come with a harsh word, gunshots might come off. I don't know what's going to happen. And the same thing when it comes to lust, a lot of men, or probably all men, will always deal with that, something within you. There's two scriptures I used to use even in prisons. And some of my young brothers, they was like, man, Jose, we noticed, you know, that girl, that she's a teacher, she's the only girl. There's like 1,500 people here. You know, when she walks by, people looking. He's like, but you didn't look. And I said, Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to lust upon a young woman. And also Jesus said something about if you look at that woman and she's married, you already committed adultery, you know, just from inside. So those two scriptures I would use for that specific moment. You know, I made a covenant with my eyes not to lust upon a young woman. If I see her, boom, look away. Don't look. And repeat scripture. Same thing with a soft answer. And I would also come, if you bump me, repay no man evil for evil, but have regard for good things in the sight of all men. God, help me. And also asking God for strength, but using his word at the same time. The word is so important, because without that word, you're so vulnerable. You're like a city broken down without walls, in Proverbs it talks about. That means you're vulnerable at any moment. But so I use all that training. Like I said, the 4 years, I studied every day. You know, it was a blessing. I got to pray out every day, surrounding myself with good brothers. And a little quick testimony. So I was involved. I was in a federal prison. So in federal prison, you got a lot of white collar crime individuals. That means like stockbrokers, lawyers, cops, judges, all that type nature. So I talked to a business owner. He owned a couple banks over there in Cleveland. We were a real good friend named Jim Mahoney. And he was with another stockbroker. And they was like, man, Jose, we know you're on fire for God and all that, but we wanted to give you like some facts. And they said, all right, you know, you're going home, and, you know, we just got out of recession, and we know that there's even college kids that are struggling to get jobs. So we just want to be realist with you and be real, you know. You don't want to get your hopes up, you know, and you come crashing down. And they start giving me these facts and all that. But that's like the enemy, you know. The enemy always wants to put fear and worry in your mind, you know. There's no jobs. There's nothing, you know. But what I came with was the word of God, the only thing that I know that could help, you know. And I told him, you know, what man things seem impossible, but what God, all things are possible. And that I stuck with. That's my story I tell them. And they said, man, you're crazy, Jose, because I'm living that. I'm living that, and I'm taking that. The word of God, to me, what happened to me is a miracle only to myself, because he's the only one that changed my desire in my heart. He completely changed my mind for women, not to lust and want many women, only want one wife, that's it. And to commit sin, I don't want to do none of that. Like, only him, he provided that for me. So I rely on his word, because I know his word is true and powerful. He says in his word that the gospel doesn't come with just mere words, but it comes with what power, deep conviction, and the Holy Spirit. I take that to heart. That's so true. So I use that word. And when I came home, I ended up the same thing. I felt like it was another test. I went to the halfway house, and the supervisor was like, all right, Jose. I said, when can I go home to see my daughter? My daughter's birthday is Saturday. You know, I know that's in 7 days. I just get in here. I just served 4 years and some change. I was like, when can I go home? He said, you need a job for at least 3 days. He said, but I'm going to tell you what, we got 20 people in line waiting for a master spot and all these other jobs. I'm just letting you know that it's not, you know, looking good. So I feel like it's the enemy again, you know, trying to like put you down. And I didn't tell the supervisor this, but I believe, you know, that God will make a way. He said, all things are possible. There's always something possible. I don't care if there's 50 people waiting for a job. You know, there could be something specifically for me. And that's what happened. You know, I believed that scripture all the way. I kept doing my part. You know, it says, ask and it shall be given. But just because you ask for something, it don't stop there. Now the other two behind that is on you. It says, seek and you shall find. So that's something I got to do. God said, just ask. Now I got to seek. So I do. I start seeking for a job. And then when you find something, you don't even stop there. There's a third part of the scripture. He said, knock and the door shall be open. So then hey, you hiring? Can I get in? This and that. And I was granted it. They gave me a job and I made a home. That Saturday, my little girl turned 8 years old on March 17th. And it was a blessing. I got to be there, you know, and it came true, you know, from belief, the power of belief and faith, you know, the word of God is so powerful. So that's just a little testimony about that scripture, how it's so powerful that it could come true. You know, if you always take it to heart and believe it, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we could talk a good game and God would do this, God is good and all this, but it comes down to belief. That's the whole thing is when hard times come, that's when it's going to show what you're really made of. Everybody could talk a good game, you know, about God or what they think they might believe, but not until the test comes, not until a bump comes, you know what I mean? A real situation. Then that's when it's going to see if you're going to have your sword ready. But if you don't have that sword ready, you're going to be so vulnerable to fall, so quick to fall, so quick. But you got anything to add to that, Lalo?
I just think, like, for me, like, I like going back to the same guys that I grew up with and talked to, you know what I mean? Like, the people that I had influence on and shared the word of God. I don't try to push nothing on nobody. I just go back and share them. Because, like, when we was talking about the renewing of the mind, a lot of times when we living in a neighborhood and we growing up a certain type of way, we're influenced by those around us telling us, you know, to sleep with the multiple women, to have this type of social status, to look a certain type of way. That's how you get respected. But the word of God starts teaching you a different way, starts helping you become a man, teaching you characteristics. No, don't lust at that woman, you know what I mean? Look away. Don't do this or don't do that. God starts teaching us different principles in life. The street teaches us something totally different. It tells us, oh, if she's looking, let's go. You know what I mean? It's a whole different ball game. But God is telling you to respect each and every one of them. You know what I mean? It's not about big eyes and little U's and putting people down or trying to make you feel better or whatnot. You know, and that's where I go back. Like, I like to go talk to people that I grew up with, you know what I mean? Because I can relate to them because I've been in them situations where I felt like, oh, you had to have this to be this type of person, or you need this to be respected, this, that, and everything else. So you put your life on the line and go out there and sell drugs, or you go out there and gang bang and you do this, do that, you know. So I like going back to the same people and saying, hey, man, listen, that ain't the right way to go, because I was once in a position where I told people, hey, man, let go do this. That's a lot of people that, you know, ran in the same gang I ran with. I paid for their tattoos where they can be flagged up to say, hey, I did that to puff me up. You know what I mean? And telling people, like, hey, man, this is the way to go. Represent this, do that. But in all actuality, I was leading them down the wrong path. So now, you know, when I come and I go back and share, like, you know, the truth, you know, about God and how you can stand, you know, within him in any storm. You don't need to go do this or do that. And that's like what Jose's talking about, you know, trusting in the word of God, knowing that, you know, I believe, like, hey, I can get a job. I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to be able to succeed in this area. You know, a lot of times we get in situations where we're from the neighborhood, we get in situations, our back against the wall, we got to react somehow, some way. So the only thing we know is what our family members taught us at a young age is to go out there and sell drugs, pick up a pack, get your money right, you know, do this type of thing. But, you know, now I'm going back like, you know what, I'm going to trust the process of God. Start off working $10 an hour, doing this, doing that, thing, whatever it is, to get to where we need to go, you know. So, you know, I go back and just share, you know, my testimony of what I've been through and what I believe that has helped me. And, you know, that's how I like to just go back and share those things.
It's always good to have a good fellowship and good brothers around you to hold you accountable as well. The Bible says two are better than one. If one falls down, the other one could help. Even if you have a spouse or anybody, a family member, somebody, you need somebody to always be able to help you. Says one cold, the other one could keep them warm. You just need that. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the counselors of his friend. So I would strongly impress that as well. Not only that you know the word of God, but it's always good to have somebody there with you to walk you along the way. And even Jesus, when he sent them out by twos. He didn't send them out by themselves. So I would like to stress that upon y'all. Always try to find good company, but bad company will corrupt your good behavior. So you definitely don't want bad company. If so, just be a season by yourself and keep praying that God sends you or seek, like I told you, that scripture to find good brothers. And my number is always available. My number is on the little sign out there, but I'm always open to talk to anybody. You know, it's very important. One thing about what Lalo that I see that the bless that God working through me, the blessing for him is even in our past. It's so crazy that so many things that happen illegally are like turning around for the good. Like I was always ahead of him in a different kind of direction. Like if I found a new way to make money or something, I would let him know and he would go that way. And we would both always elevate. that quick. But now I see God using. It's so crazy how God touched us out of all of us, and we were like the highest ones, the most influenced out of all of them. And somehow, some way, God used both of us. We ended up giving ourselves to God, and everybody else is almost either lukewarm or not really following it like that, or up here ready to preach the gospel. But to me, I'm very thankful that that happened to him as well, because it just strengthened my walk. You know, I used to talk to him like, man, I can't wait till my brother to come home. I was like, I'm out here fighting by myself. You know, I got brothers, but it's different when you have a brother walking day by day by you, and other than my other brothers that are kind of like long distance, you know. This man's here day by day, and I knew that day would come. I was like, me by myself, I could take out 1,000, but two could take out 10,000. I was like, I know when you come home, a three-course string is not easily broken, and I see it working now when he came home, even with us today here, and even influencing the rest of our old buddies and whatnot. But along the way, I've been talking to this brother since he got saved for the last 9 years on the phone before he came home. So we would have a lot of Bible studies and whatnot. And one thing, like I said, the blessing for him that I see, that all my shortcomings I would talk to him about. So when I came home and I fell to alcohol, and I was saved, and I fell to alcohol for 5 months, like slowly, before I ended up giving that up. And he was there through all my experience, so he kind of got a little prep plan of my, you know, through those 9 years of like, brother, look, don't do this, don't do this. This is what happened to me. So he got to feed off of a lot. And also him coming home, I stayed at my mother's house, father's house. I just officially moved out like a week ago, but I've been there since I've been incarcerated in a small little room, not much bigger than a cell. I was there for like, since I've been home, 8 years. And now God elevated me into a really big, nice house, but he's able to, you know, transform things, but we have to be patient too. So I know him from him staying at his mother's house, he has to look at me and like, all right, you done did it for a very long time.
Like I said, like Lord sends people before you sometimes. And you know, like he's been through a lot, you know, over these 11, 7 years, none of us is perfect, you know what I mean? We all fail, we all fall short at times, you know? And you know, during that times of them fallings, he was able to hold himself accountable and say, hey, listen, my brother, hey man, these are things that I failed on, you know? I'm letting you know ahead of time because you're gonna be coming home so you can prepare yourself. Don't go down this route. Don't trust in your flesh. Don't fall for that, you know, and stuff along that nature. So that's been a blessing because I don't want to fail, you know what I mean? I don't want to disrespect God. You know, I love what God has done for me and who and how he has changed me. So I look at what he has been through, and it has given me strength to say, no, that ain't what I want, you know. And then also as far as like where he's at now, you know, growing as a man, you know what I mean, like showing from his transitioning from when he first came home, you know, staying at his mom's house, starting his business, you know, I remember when he first wrote me, I was in the county, he came home, and Jose wrote me, he talking about, you know, he was a busboy at the Spanish restaurant, you know what I mean, bussing tables. I'm like, bro, we just served bricks together, we making thousands of dollars, and now you out here wiping up tables, you know what I mean? So it was like, man, where you at, really? You know what I mean? But it showed me the humbleness and what God has done, because before, we was arrogant type guys, you know what I mean? We had some type of, you know, social status where we felt like we had to be a certain type of way. But during that time, I'm watching him changing while I'm in here, changing while the Lord's working on me. So, you know, the Lord's showing me, like, through him, like, hey, man, you got to go through things. You know what I mean? You got to humble yourself. And I've been in situations when I was in prison where I've been tested. You know what I mean? And I had to humble myself and say, hey, listen, I don't want no problems, my brother. Yeah, you can have that. And turn away and walk away. You know what I mean? So I've been in situations, you know, I started at a medium, went to a low, went to a camp. So I've been in situations where, you know, my pride was involved at times where, you know, I had to swallow it. Where I had to say, hey, listen, ain't what I want. Still to this day, when I come home, there's certain things people may make comments and may say something, this and that. And, you know, in the body, I feel like, okay, well, I can act out. But at the end of the day, what is it going to get me? And I've learned, like, that ain't the way to respond. So therefore, I cast it down. I don't speak on them. I don't even acknowledge them. I don't give it too much thought. And I just react and believe in the word of God that he has a plan for me. And I'm trusting in that process. Just as I look at my brother today, you know, I trust the process. And that's one of the things. When I came home, he came over to my mom's house. We sitting on the swing every day after the gym. We working out. We sharing testimonies, giving each other encouragement and uplifting each other. You know what I mean? We still do that when he's on the road. You know, we continue to talk to each other and uplift. So I can see how God used him to give me the strength and encouragement to say, hey, listen, it's going to be all right. Continue to trust the process. What I've done for the next man, I'll do for you as well. Continue to trust the process.
Amen.
And I'm not just speaking about finances. I'm speaking in general with faith, hope, love, respect.
Peace, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not about the finances, because the finances isn't what it is. Because like I said, if it was about the finances, we can go out and pick up a pack and get some money tomorrow. But that ain't it, you know? We don't want to give up the peace of Christ for a materialistic gain. That's not the case. You know what I mean? The Lord has taught me that through this man, you know, during the last 9 years. So when I came home, I knew that it was going to be a little different. But at the same time, though, that's what I wanted. I wanted different. I didn't want to stay in that same misery. I wanted different. So I thank God today for using this man, you know, and letting him go before me.
I remember I used to tell Lalo, I was like, man, Lalo, he'd be on the phone. I'd be like, I'm not used to this. Like, I'm over here worrying about the gas pedal. Remember, I was like, where do they do this at? Like, I ain't got money for gas. I got a budget gas. I got a budget. I can't even go out to eat. Like, we grew up, like, when we were in the streets, we had, thousands of dollars. I mean, and I was like, it was all a new experience for me to learn. And I had to stay humble, you know, and people would come like, man, just, you know, we could make money, you know, they knew my family and, you know, and stuff like that. They was like, well, let us make money and then you don't have to do nothing. And my philosophy on that was like, okay, if I told you, you know, give me all your money and all that and I'm going to involve you in this business, but the percentage of someone getting incarcerated and being in trouble is highly great. I would ask them, what's your view on it? What's your percentage of people that don't make it out? And they was like, man, it's probably like 80% or 10% might make it out. I was like, well, there you go. Like, you want me to invest everything with you, and I'm going to give you 90% chance I'm going to lose everything that you're going to give me. I was like, I ain't going to do that. I'll be fooled just to put you onto that. So that's my philosophy. I'm not going to let you go down that way. But, yeah, it was a humbling experience. And the word, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due time you will reap if you not lose heart. So you just got to keep pushing forward, you know. And that's what I did. I started low. And then I started getting a better job. Then I got a CDL license. And then I opened up my own trucking company. I got 3 trucks going. Now I got Blue Line Athletics Apparel. We'll be launching it soon again with the website. We got our little family crew growing with God and Fitness. So things are going getting better. But like I said, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines everybody onto the perfect day. You can't grow weary. You can start from ground zero. It doesn't matter where you start from. I lost everything. I came home when I was 30 years old. I didn't have nothing. Nothing. I had to stay at my mom's house. But like I said, the word says, let us not grow weary while doing good. There's a time and purpose for everything. Some seasons are longer for others. My season was 5 years. His season was 9 years. But now we're able to put it forward, push it forward. So,
and that's for all of us. Like, we all going through something in life right now. And I don't know where each and every one of us are at. But, you know, wherever you at, you know what I mean, you don't have to stay there. If it's, you know, any type of feeling or any discouragement or whatever somebody may be fighting with or going through, you know, you don't have to stay in that situation. You know, give it to the Lord and just trust him. You know, if we battle in what, you know, I don't know, all of us battle something at times. You know what I mean? So if it's any state of mind that we may be in, you know, I encourage you to trust Christ and come before him and give it to him, you know what I mean, through prayer and just trust and say, you know, Lord, look, hey, I'm believing in your word. I know that I'm not going to stay in this self-defeat. I'm not going to have that attitude, you know, I don't like to say loser, but, you know, just I don't want to have this attitude that is not of Christ. I want to be able to prosper in all areas, Lord, so give me the strength to overcome. So I just encourage everybody just continue to trust the word of God, and you know, whatever you're going through, you know, bring it to the Lord and trust him, you know, because we don't have to all stay in the same spot. We can move forward.
One last thing I would like to share. When I ask people, how you doing today? Most people always talk about finances first. Oh, I'm doing good. I just got a job, or I got a pay raise. I just got a house, or it's always finances. But when I share with the brothers all the time, I say it's spiritual first. You got to see how are you doing spiritually. That is number one. Number two would be, in my opinion, your physical health, you know, longevity, life, how you taking care of yourself. And then third, finances. But everybody always has it backwards. So always work on those three with men. Because it says, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? So if you think of all this finance and you lose at the end. So spirit must come first. To be saved, to have a right relationship with God must come first. Second, taking care of your body, you know, eating healthy for longevity, not just for yourself, but for your children or your children's children. Then third, work on your finances. So I'm never scared to share as far as like what God has blessed me with, because that could all go. It doesn't matter. Paul said, I know the secret to life, to be content. He said, I know what it is to have much. I know what it is to have nothing. He said, but through Christ, I could do whatever. I could do all things through Christ. And that's how I feel. It doesn't, material, nothing move me. And I would tell him and my fiance all the time. So people would say, why are you telling people about, I'm not scared to speak. Like, I had got a loan. It was like $150,000 loan not long ago. But and my fiance and some people was like, why are you not like excited? Even my brother D1, I got a $250,000 house not long ago. He's like, where's the excitement? I was like, to me, this is nothing. Like, I know I've been on a county floor for a long time. I got a house, but it can all go away. Nothing can compare what do I have in here in my heart with this true joy from God and knowing that I'm not going to hell. I got salvation. I'm about to be in the presence of God and his glory. That's where my mindset. To live on this life is to live for Christ. To die is gain to me. That's my home. This is not my home. The house, my car, nothing. None of that matters to me. I could be back on the county floor and I'll be at peace. Just like Paul, when he started writing a lot of the Bible, he was at peace. And that's what I have now. So I would suggest that for everybody to get that first, that right standing, that peace, that word of God to be ingrained in your heart and your mind, that you could feel loved and give that radiant, that love to other people. So that is definitely first and foremost, it would be spiritual, and then put the finances on the end. I'm not saying not to seek that, but always put it at the end. Always seek God first and his righteousness. Then all things shall be added to you. But I'll close with that.